Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. I want to remind everybody of the call-in number, 323-203-0815. Dr. Allen, you are live.
Yes.
And on the air. How are you tonight?
I'm just fine. I had a little problem with a hearing aid, but I righted it so I could do the show.
Awesome.
And here I am.
And we'll just ask everybody to talk a little louder. And we have a live caller now. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi. I had called last week. I was the one who a man is or was dating me that was the norepinephrine addict.
Yes.
Or we thought that he was. We ended up breaking up. He just continued to be in a bad mood, and I scheduled a time to talk. I used your tool and scheduled a set up an appointment to talk with him about it. And he basically said that he has a lot of fun going on dates with me, and he thinks I'm so like fun and beautiful and smart, and but that he also finds me kind of boring. And then he went on to say that he finds most people boring, and he doesn't have like a lot of friends, so that and that's why, because he thinks most people are boring. And he told me that he wants to go on dates, but he doesn't want to ever like cohabitating with someone and living with someone like is boring to him. And, and so I guess I'm a little confused because in the beginning he thought he saw a future with me, and he was, I guess he just kind of would like flip flop back and forth.
How old is he?
42. Never been married.
Did I talk to you about vasopressin?
No.
Vasopressin is to men what oxytocin is to women. They're doing tests now of baby boys when they're born because they're realizing that vasopressin deprivation before the age of 3 is really anti-commitment, anti-marriage, anti-relationship, because you're a norepinephrine addict. I'm finding more information about this. So this man may not be interested in dopamine, which is one of the 3 neurotransmitters. Dopamine is an upper, and it's produced best by sexual behavior and money behavior, money and sex. Serotonin is nature's tranquilizer that is released when we need it, you know, especially if we get good sleeping hygiene going.
Right.
But norepinephrine, if a person is raised, the article I wrote, read in the Science magazine, called it a dark life. There are people that are become comfortable with dopamine, with loneliness, they're comfortable with pain.
Right.
So this man may be vasopressin deprived.
I see.
And
yeah, it was,
I don't know if they've got a treatment for a grown man, because the article that I read said that they needed to spot it in the system by 3 and treat it, or it's like not fixable.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. It was confusing because
is he 51% valuable?
Well, he ended up breaking up with me because I do want marriage and kids, and he said he thinks he does, but he doesn't, because it's like a goal of mine, he thinks that it's like creepy. He just got like really mean towards the end. And he says he wants marriage and kids, but he wants to like fall in love first, and he doesn't want that to be like the end goal. And he never wants me to like stay up at his house with him. He just wants to go on dates, and that doesn't work for me. And he was, I don't know, it just felt, we ended up breaking it off. So I guess he's not 51% valuable, but it was just really confusing.
What is the most desirable aspect in the relationship?
For me, I guess, like having connection and good communication.
You have that with him?
At times, but then it's like when it gets good, he like freaks out and immediately goes into a bad mood.
And do you understand why I'm thinking vasopressin now?
Yeah, and that makes sense, because he said before, like when things are happy, he gets sad because of it, because he doesn't know like what's after the happiness.
That is totally what it does. It's darkness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see.
Seasonal, yeah, and he kept, like,
affect disorder, where you're mm-hmm. in a dark climate. That can portray, you know, Russia, Poland, places where there's more darkness than light.
Mm-hmm.
Sets up this dark life for people that scares them out of dopamine pleasuring.
Right. Yeah, because right. He kept saying that I'm like...
Order.
What?
Seasonal affective disorder?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he kept saying that I'm like, I'm too nice for him, that he wants someone like more fiery. And it was just confusing.
He wants somebody that produces pain.
I see.
Because I usually say something like, people, men, it's a man's issue. When a man is deprived of vasopressin by 3, it's like he trusts people that cause him pain, but he thinks that happy people are lying. And whatever they're bringing, they're going to take away, which a lot of them do because they don't want to be in a dark relationship. And that's what you're speaking to me about. So you've dated him how long?
About 2 months.
Okay, so you've done the perfect period, even if it isn't perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, just sort of.
If it was,
it just. Oh, sorry. Keep going.
How long are you willing? How often do you want? I usually tell people, vote them in 1 month at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to do September with him?
Well, we broke up.
He broke up with you.
It was kind of a mutual thing. It just sort of felt like I was in this. Like, it was, all of it was just, I mean, now talking to you, it makes sense, but it was just really confusing because he would say one thing, like he would say like, oh, I want you to like come up and stay with me. And I want to, he would talk like future plans with me. And then he would go in the complete opposite direction. So it just sort of felt like this tornado. It didn't really make sense.
He doesn't know about vasopressin. He may be businesslike. He may have gone to a therapist who said, be happy, do things that are happy, you know, behavioral therapist. But once he gets into it, his body takes over, and then he says goodbye. But remember, his body remembers enough in 8 weeks to call you back.
So just wait it out?
Well, you can wait it out, and if you can handle a cyclical relationship where you like the fact that he's gone a lot and comes and goes. Everybody has their assets and their liabilities.
Yeah.
So I've given you something. You can look it up on your Google. But I'm telling you the truth. It's simply a chemical situation, but the world is starting to scientifically want to investigate it because we're living long enough to want to be old. And when you're old, men want to be cherished and women want to be respected, interestingly, not dumped. And so the vasopressin deprivation becomes an irritant, not just a hormonal situation.
I see.
So,
yeah. And is it normal for a man that is struggling with that to go back and forth, like one day want marriage, the next day not, kind of the back and forth?
Not like daily. I doubt if it's daily.
Yeah.
It's more like I'd be more tending monthly because to have a good time with you.
Yeah.
And he thinks maybe that he's in control of it.
Right.
When in fact, his gene pool is in control of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it, I mean, he, like a couple weeks ago, he said, I'm freaked out because I feel like you could be the end goal to my dating career. Like you could be like the one and that's it. And I wouldn't, you know, and he was like, it kind of freaks me out. And then it, yeah, he just the pulling the plug. So that makes sense.
Well, look at it every month. And remember, if what I say is true, he can't do anything about it. He just has to cycle with it. It's, there's, women have an issue called premenstrual PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, the 10 days before their period starts.
Right.
And this particular, do you know anybody with that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. It comes close to being psychotic for 10 days.
Okay.
Like a really nice girl becomes witch of the year for 10 days.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. When I spot one of these, and you know, I'm into science so deeply that I look for unique reasons for unusually destructive behavior. Like, why did you do that? I love what Einstein said. Somebody asked him if he believed in God, and he said, yes. Some brain created this. It's true.
Yeah, that's exactly how he, it's like good, and then he just turns into a complete like psycho, and not in like a, he just shuts down and sabotages and like picks fights with me and makes issues when there's not issues, and yeah, it was just all really confusing. But then on the flip side, I could tell that he really liked me.
I know that. So I'm giving you information that hopefully will allow you to not believe that everybody can control what's going on with him or them, when in fact they may be controlled by their gene pool.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much. So just wait out the 8 weeks. Don't reach out.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go out and date some more?
Yeah, I already got back on the apps and I'm going to go back to duty dating. And then just, wait out the 8 weeks and, yeah.
Do it. Do it. Remember, there's one word that you've got to remember. Next. I'm going to make a statement that if you get the lesson out of the relationship you're in, it qualifies you for the best qualities of that relationship plus more.
Yeah, it's so fun. I just read that in your Women's Universe,
Universe.
What's the title of your book? Yeah, I just read that, and I thought, God, that's so good. It puts such a positive spin on a breakup.
What?
So good. It puts such a positive spin on the breakup.
I understand that. You know, I'm going to be 86 years old this month, and I'm telling you that just being a scientist and specializing, you know, professionally and personally in the science of love has allowed me to have so much more mercy for human beings. We are really animals.
Yeah.
And that part has to be handled, and that's what we do. So get back out there, and you learn something about a unique new study of little boys. Are they vasopressin deprived?
Yeah.
And they can't commit.
And so do most of these, the men that you have seen, do they just stay single their whole lives?
They know what they do is they either find a woman that accepts an open example. You might love this man enough to accept him, you know, vasopressin deprived.
So the phone cut out. So a man, finding a woman where a man accepts an open relationship.
Yes, where they agree that he wants the right to be free to have lovers periodically. Remember what I always say, if you listen to me, I'm a therapist, not a moralist.
Yeah.
By being a therapist, you tell me, like, I just gave you information that you'll remember and maybe look up for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Which could allow you to help a vasodepressant man marry you without anger.
Right.
Having the anger.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. There's some good in every bad, and there's some bad in every good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So helpful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed doing that.
Have a good day. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, caller.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was very informative.
I know. I do it for that reason, because it helps people love one another when you think they're deliberately not loving you.
Hello?
Caller, I'm on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I sure do have a question. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I spoke with you 2 weeks ago about my boyfriend who was going through the depression, and you gave me some great advice, which I followed. Which was just be nice and give him space. And kind of it took a turn. He terminated the relationship last week.
Okay. And how long ago is he gone?
He terminated it last week. So it's been about on Saturday, I guess, so almost a week. But we live together, and we've always lived in separate rooms because we were roommates at first for about 2 years, and then we started dating.
Okay.
So, yeah, we were roommates for a long time, and then we started
Know the chances of him cycling back are good. How long have you dated him?
2.5 years.
2.5 years?
Yeah.
It's not unusual for people to stay in relationships that are kumsi kumsa for 3 years. The first year is exciting, the second year is entertaining, and the third year, people feel bored. They want diversification, or, like I was just talking to the dear lady that called about vasopressin, something is interfering with their normality. So don't be surprised.
Right, which was the depression.
Yes. Is he on medication? Is he taking care of himself?
No, but that's what we spoke about when I called you, and I said that he's feeling very depressed and a bit, and you said that it was left-handed. Well, he terminated the relationship, and he had been drinking the night he did that, and we were having a great time, and then he got very just nasty out of nowhere and basically said he's unhappy, which he's told me before. And then the next day he said, I'm really unhappy. And he said that I need to change everything in my life. And he said, my relationship's part of it. And he said, I just don't know what else to do. And he's going to move home to his home state. He's going home for a few days at the end of the month to stay with his family to decide whether he wants to even stay in LA or home. on because he's in a lot of pain and he just doesn't know what to do. So I accepted that and I said, well, it's going to hurt
me a lot, but I accepted that.
Yeah, I respected that and I said, I accept that and that's fine. And then, as I was giving him space while we're broken up, it's very weird when you live with someone to be broken up. So I was giving him his space and a day after or 2 days after he came home from hanging out with his friends and he said, I just want you to know that you're the most important thing in my life and the most important person I've ever met. And he said that he couldn't invent a better person to be with. And he doesn't even know if he's making the right decisions and that he doesn't
know. What you're doing is you're telling me the story of a person that took a position and made a decision and then explained all the ins and outs of it. Human being making a decision, which you're involved in, but there's nothing much you can do about it except respect him for his right to do it, even if he's destroying the better part of his life. The only thing I ask you to do when people are depressed is honor any suicidal information that they say. I'd rather be dead, you know, this is blah, 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 whatever it is.
Right.
Do not take responsibility for them. But when your gut tells you that they're in trouble, call the paramedics.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's flipping and flopping. So when he came back that night and he said those things, they were important, they don't sure. And then we left it at that. And then the next day I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be a little bit aloof, not aloof, but just a little bit distant. I'm not going to get in his face. And then he didn't like that. He said, why are you acting fake? Why are you acting different? He said, are you trying to push me out of here sooner? Because I can't go anywhere sooner financially. He said, I have to stay until the end of the month. And I said, no, I said, you're right. I am being inauthentic because I actually don't want to be distant with you, but I feel like I'm respecting your choice and your decision to terminate our relationship. But he flips and flops. And then he still gives me a hug and a kiss like he normally would when, you know, he says goodbye or comes or goes or whatever.
You're telling me more about the fact that he wants a free lover. He's no longer wanting to participate intimately with you, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to be sexual. Making love and having sex are two different operations.
Right. Well, I mean, these are just like friendly, you know, hugs as you hug someone, as you say goodbye or hello. It's just a friendly kind of kiss on the cheek. But yeah, so that, and then I gave him his space and then he asked me, I don't want you to see anyone while I'm still here. He said that would hurt him very much. And I said, I won't. And it's just very hard. I don't know quite what to do because he said he's going to go home. Yeah.
Be a single woman that's renting space in his space and be courteous. That's all that's expected of you, except that he wants the affection, which is, you know, friends and perks.
Right. So what do I do? Do I give him those hugs when he wants them? Do they feel good?
It depends on whether you want an open relationship. He wants the benefits of intimacy with the freedom of singlehood.
Right. Well, he's leaving at the end of the month.
So how are you going to live with him sexually till the end of the month? Do you want to use him sexually? Do you want to?
There's absolutely no clothes off, no fondling, nothing then, like that. I mean, the hugs and the kisses are okay, but
you've told him that else. You've told him you're not going to provide intimacy.
I haven't, but he hasn't asked for it. He hasn't made a move. He just gives me a hug when he said goodbye and hello and just asks for a hug when he's about to cry and explaining his pain. He says, oh, can I have a hug?
And you do not want those. Is that true?
No, I like them. I like them.
Well,
if
you like it and it's not intercourse, enjoy your affection.
Right. But how do I deal with a man I'm deeply in love with moving, leaving me?
You probably don't give him affection. That's what I'm saying. See, I was trying to find out if you're still physically in love with him, and you are. Your body wants him, and his body wants you to a degree, but it steps over a line of intimacy that triggers you into anger. So you've got the rent paid till the end of the month, and that's what he's going to get. And maybe you can hug him. You see? Maybe you might want to tell him that you'd like to initiate a hug or a kiss, but not him.
Okay, why?
So that you're in control of your body.
Okay.
I don't want you producing cortisol, the anger fluid, by him touching your body without your initiating.
Right.
Your body is accustomed to having intercourse with him, yes?
Yes, and the night we broke up, we did. So it happened the morning after that we broke up.
So either you don't touch each other, or you tell him, I will touch you when I'm comfortable, but I don't want to be touched by you if you're leaving.
Okay, that's a smart way to go.
That's the smart way that follows your instincts. We women, we follow our instincts. That's dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine. Men follow their intuition. They're born with 21 cells that are designed make their brain more cognitive, more decisive. Do you see?
Right. Yeah.
So women must feel good in their body to do good in their life. Men need to do good in their life to feel good. But as men get into their 50s, they have to feel good to do good, and we have to do good to feel good.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
I do, but it's really painful, especially when he says that he's not even sure if he's making the right decision and he doesn't know what decisions he's making right now. But when I said that I'm giving you the space,
don't be surprised if he comes back. In cases like this, I find that you, the person dumped, often is the one that ends up dumping.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's weird. Why did he broke up with me, but then he asked me not to see any other people while we're still living together because it's going to hurt.
Do you see
much.
What I'm saying? He's got one foot in commitment and one foot out.
Yeah. Right.
So you've got to decide if you want to put your foot in affection-wise or you don't. Each day, you'll go from...
Okay.
Good to bad each day. In other words, one day you'll like it and one day you won't.
Right. That's how I'm feeling. Every day is completely different. I feel fine with it. And
then follow your instincts.
Okay, just so
put your hands up when you want to stop him. And put your hands open if you want to hug him. In other words, follow your feelings.
I accept all the hugs. I accept all of his hugs. I love all of them.
All right.
I accept all
of them. So you're going to accept Well, then accept hugs. What is it you don't like?
I don't like the fact that he's leaving.
Well, I know that, but that's the big that's the big decision. Now that it's on the way to dismantling, what does he have the right to approach you on?
Affectionately. I guess nothing if we're not together.
Nothing if you're not together.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess he doesn't have right to it, but the love is there.
So you understand he will be angry about that. And that's okay. These last weeks. So be sure he knows that that's the rules, that you designed the affection, not him.
Okay. But if that's the case, I want to hug him all the time. I mean, if it's on my
thing,
then
hug him all the time.
Right. But I don't
know. That's what you tell him. I'd like to hug you all the time. Is that okay with you? You can pick days, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, his days, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays. You know, you can organize it any way you want, but just be sure that you are not angry that he's doing something, touching you, without your approval.
Oh, no, I'm not angry at all. I feel very
sad.
I'm very sad about the breakup.
All
very,
right.
Very sad. I can't sleep
and
properly.
Will that cause
I
you to be
cry.
More affectionate or less?
More. I'm a real lover. I'm all about that.
But you'd better get permission for your designing the affection. You know, tell him what you're comfortable with and what you're not.
Well, I'm comfortable with it. I am.
You're comfortable with hugging.
Yeah.
And you want control over kissing and what else?
We're not even kissing. We're not kissing or anything like that. It's just a friendly hug. Like, we're having heart-to-heart conversations.
Okay.
And he wants to hug
then
me after.
Tell him that you don't mind him hugging you.
Okay.
Or you hugging him.
No, I don't. No, I don't. But the fact that he got a bit jealous, the next day I went out for a day trip by myself and he said, where are you going? What are you doing? And he said, well, don't come back. And I said, well, where is that coming from? That sounds a bit mean. And he said that he just doesn't know how to deal with his emotions. And he said that it's really
He really doesn't. He doesn't.
Yeah. And he said it's really painful.
He's in his 40s. What?
No, he's in his 30s.
He's in his 30s, so he's gushing testosterone.
But he's also left-handed and a musician. So
you're what?
He's left-handed and a musician, so he's feminine.
Oh,
like you
okay.
Said.
So he's mixing his thoughts and feelings. He is a bundle, but don't be surprised if he wanders back into your nest.
Okay, but I don't know. I don't
all
know
right.
how it's going to work if he's going to move to another state. He's planning to perhaps at the time. But I did say to him, this was your choice and your decision for us to have this space. So I'm respecting it. And he said that yes, it wasn't that choice wasn't made off just a one-off thing. That he's been feeling like this for a long time about our relationship. So he seems quite
okay.
Certain.
Well, now he's going to live with it. Just remember. To take care of your body.
Right.
Okay?
I am, but it's so painful living. How do I live next door to someone that I love so much and it's like separated from me?
There's not much you can do about it.
And,
I mean, you're
how
in pain over him doing it.
I am, and how about me crying and things like that? I'm trying not to cry where he can hear me next door.
Cry
and be all
in private. Cry in private.
Yeah.
Because it guiltifies him. He's not made a solid decision at this time. I don't hear it.
Okay.
Okay, so
I don't. Okay.
One.
And. Yeah.
What?
No, I was going to say, after
do?
he. No, after he opened up to me and said all these nice things, I left him a nice note in front of the coffee pot saying, you're an awesome human being and thank you for sharing what you shared last night with me, all the loving stuff he said about me and how important I am in his life. And I left him that note, and I felt like I'm not chasing him. I'm just sharing my true feelings.
Good. That's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so what do? I just kind of just let him do what he's doing or honor his choices.
There's not much you can do about it.
No.
So let him do his thing and see if he can live with it.
Okay, and I did go out on a date today with an ex-boyfriend that's been calling me for the last 6 months.
Good, good.
And he invited me out for lunch, so I went with him, and I feel a bit guilty about doing that.
Darling, you're feeling guilty because your body is mated to this man's body.
Yeah.
So the way you get over somebody is don't taste, touch, smell, see, or hear them for 2 years.
But I
or date other people. What?
Okay, I live with him, but date other people.
I know
that's another
option. That's ending. That's ending.
Right.
So
right. That's true.
You have a period of time.
And how do I get him to change his mind?
Dating other people. But don't let him find out.
No, I'm not putting it in his face. That's too cruel.
Good.
So how do I get him to change his mind and realize he loved me and that he loved me?
He's gonna change his mind. He's already in the process of changing his mind, is what I hear. He has not made his decision solid enough.
Okay. When a man has, they wouldn't want to hug you, right? Or
darling, he is in Never Never Land. Don't even try to think about where he is. Okay?
You're so funny.
Take care of yourself. Okay?
I appreciate that, Dr. Pat. And I have made an appointment with you, actually. I did schedule an appointment with you for this week or hopefully next week. I got your availability.
I have a right to do that. You'll be farther down this line. Not then. Okay?
No, I'm calling you. No, I'm calling you, I mean. Like in the next few days.
I know that, but I'm saying you'll be into this dismantling procedure more by then, or he'll be back.
Right. Well, it's like a prison sentence right now. There's another 20 days until he moves out, and every day it's so hard because I can't sleep properly.
I understand that. Do you have a girlfriend to live with you can go to?
Potentially.
Do you want to move out now?
It's my apartment. I mean, it's my apartment, but
it's your apartment. Okay, I thought it was his.
No, it's my apartment.
You take care of you as best you can.
Right, okay. Okay, and he might come back and get his foot in, his foot out. All right, well, I really appreciate it, and I'm really looking
good.
Forward to chatting with you.
Excellent.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your time.
Good.
That is
bye.
Bye-bye.
I will. I'll let you know. Thanks.
All right. Very interesting, Dr. Allen. That has got to be a little bit of a tough situation. 20 more days with him there, touching, tasting, smelling.
Yeah.
It's
got to
be a little rough.
It's quite a process. Yeah.
Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I sure do. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hello.
Hi. So continuing on the theme of the evening, I know you develop themes on the show every once in a while. A man has been dating me for close to 4 years now. He's asking for an open relationship. He has a right to do that. Absolutely. He has every right in the world. He's 64 and I am 52. And he's also ambidextrous and an artist.
Wow.
Lots of feminine energy.
Yes.
And so I want to
put in ambidextrous men, all women, biologically gay men, have a larger corpus callosum bridge between the right lobe in their skull, which is feeling-centered, and the mm-hmm. left lobe, which is thinking-centered. So these human beings mix their thoughts and feelings, but right-handed men separate. So police, soldiers, they have a lower level of suicide as soldiers than women.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that the fact that women can mix their thoughts and feelings makes them less masculine for the role of police officer or soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a man that's ambidextrous. He's how old?
64.
64, so he's in andropause, like we go in menopause, men go in andropause. So he's going female, and he's got a brain that's built like a woman's. What else?
What else? Well, I am afraid that he may feel rejected right now by me, and I'll explain that.
Why?
I called in about it. Because I called in when, all right, so when he told me he wanted to keep this relationship open, he hadn't been 100% honest about it from the beginning. And I found out that he has an on again, off again situation going on with a woman who lives out of state. You had told me a month ago when I called in to put a number down every day at the end of the day about whether or not I was willing to accept the offer of an open relationship. And
right.
it turns out that I am coming around to accepting it. However, we had a big argument about it because, you know, he didn't tell me this from the outset, and I haven't heard from him in 7 weeks. So I
he's really gone.
Yeah. So
8 weeks is rumination time.
Right. And we've got one more week to go.
Yes, you do. And it's the toughest week.
Do I reach out and apologize? Okay.
Well, you want to apologize for arguing with him about an open relationship? What are you apologizing for?
Well, because, you know, I sort of stopped taking his calls, and I felt really rejected, I suppose, and I didn't react in the best way. So he stopped calling, and then I said, okay, I'm going to give him the 8 weeks, right? And now we're coming up, this is week 7, and I don't know what I should do to communicate.
Wait a minute. Have you made a decision about the openness of the relationship?
I've decided to accept it, Dr. Allen.
You've accepted it. Does he know you've accepted it?
He doesn't, because I just finished the month sort of putting the little number down on the piece of paper exercise that you instructed me to do.
So why not send him a text or something that you evaluated his choice and you've decided to accept an open relationship, which, by the way, he will have more difficulty handling than you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see?
I just didn't know if it was appropriate or to do so because, you know, because we were in that 8 week period. If I, you know, that's, I guess, what really my question is for you this evening. I mean, do I wait another week and see if he corresponds? I mean, he might be feeling rejected because I was so upset when he told me this, and I understand that.
So then why don't you call him and say, I've thought about it for a month, and I've decided to accept your offer for an open relationship. Don't even wait for a text.
Okay.
Do it voice to voice.
Okay.
Because you'll pick up the energy that he's feeling.
Okay. Do you think he rejected me because I haven't heard him in 7 weeks?
Asked for an open relationship and you didn't say yes at that time.
Oh. That's correct.
Well, that's just doing business. you're going to call him now and say, I've decided to accept your offer for an open relationship.
Okay.
That's you processing.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
And this he is will have more trouble with you than you will with him.
Why do you say that?
Because women, their nature is that they can be more accepting of openness in a relationship. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay. Do I?
That doesn't mean you'll be able to do it forever, but you're going to explore it.
Right. That's a good point. I can explore it and see if I'm comfortable with it.
Do it just, month by month.
Okay. That's a great idea. That's actually a great, that just lifted a huge weight off of my shoulders. How do I reconcile my feelings of being, I don't know, that I'm chasing him back or being a doormat and succumbing to his way or the highway kind of a situation?
Because you've decided he's worth it. He must be 51%. What is his value?
50. It's higher than 51.
What is the most bonding thing? What keeps you with him in spite of a request for an open relationship? So you have good chemistry.
Absolutely. He was communicating very well. He was calling me every day until he told me that
he was cherishing you, dear. That's cherishing you.
He was cherishing me, but he just will not commit. Right. So, yes. So he was communicating well. The intimacy is there. It's like I have everything but the longevity, I suppose. Right. Because that's what this counts.
All right. You're not going to have monogamy, but neither is he. Is he compatible with you?
And how do you mean?
In any way, morals, ethics, do you fit in each other's life?
Yeah, neither of us have kids. I think that, we like the same things and so on and so forth. I mean, we always have very good, deep conversations.
Okay. And longevity, you're mated, but you don't think you're going to marry.
Well, he was married for 15 years and that relationship was open as well. So he's had this all his life, and I don't know if at this age it might change, or do I just say this is the way he's going to be for the foreseeable future?
What you do is month at a time.
Okay.
In other words, you're exploring something that he's already explored, and he wants men very often like diversification, especially men with large corpus callosums that mix their thoughts and feelings. Do you see? So you're going on a venture, and as long as you set boundaries, do you see what I mean?
What would a boundary look like in this situation?
Boundaries would be the open partner. Are they part of your family unit?
No,
she
was
kept out.
Kept out. I think that's kind of the way it's been, because he's had this other on again off again situation for many years, so it's a little bit undefined.
So you have to talk about how openness impacts timing, I, we, and us.
Okay.
Chores at the home. Do you live together?
No.
No, you don't live together. Well, chores when you're visiting or people,
right,
your guests coming over. Money. How does that and play. What are the boundaries for play that is sexual and play that is not sexual?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's the same set as in chapter 14 in my book, Getting Do I Do, time, space, money, and play, to negotiate the boundaries of any relationship, especially the sexual ones, mm-hmm. so that you know what you can expect.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I really have come to this place where I want to accept him as a loving woman, accept him for who he is, because he is that 51% valuable. You know, I just...
Good.
I just don't want him to view me as a doormat, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Then set up whatever boundaries would allow you or and him to not lose your individual right to be yourself.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Allen.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Right. Check it in with our switchboard, see what's going on. And in the meantime, we have a question from one of our people out in the interweb. And the question is, gaslighting, Dr. Allen, why? Why do they gaslight?
Why do they gaslight?
Yeah.
Sociopath and psychopath, they gaslight. Sociopaths do it. Generally for money, power, and prestige. Psychopaths gaslight and cause you to doubt yourself as a human being, healthy. That movie by Ira Bergman and Charles Boyer, I think it was.
Yeah.
Gaslight. Anyway, it showed a man gaslighting a woman into believing that she was nuts.
Right.
And she caught on. And by the time the movie ends, guess who's gaslit? He.
Miss Boyer.
She turned it on him. So I recommend if you watch an old movie that is really up my alley. So ghosting is interfering either with the social stability. You know, you end up with somebody that won't let you have friends. And psychopath is, your brain doesn't work very well. You've got to let me run your life. You see?
Right. I call that the self-esteem pressure.
There's a wonderful book, and I'm reaching out for it right now. Why Women Love Psychopaths.
So why do they?
Why do they?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're codependent. See, you have to be codependent in order for somebody to take over your identity, either socially. Oh, you can't go out like that. I don't want that. You stay home. Women who love psychopaths inside the relationships of, and here's the book, of inevitably harm with psychopaths, sociopaths, and narcissists. And the author is Sandra L. Brown. Okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
So yeah, there are people that... Huh?
You're right. Gaslight was a great movie.
Yes. I like Gaslight. And
I can see why. You're totally up your alley.
Yeah, it really is. Well, you see, the truth of the matter is therapists, teachers, ministers, we all are gaslighting.
Right.
We're all teaching something. that impacts our social standings and our attitude towards ourselves. That's why I take a great deal of pride in saying I'm a therapist, not a moralist. I have to report to the police child abuse, elder abuse, or disabled adult abuse. The government is not that interested in who you have sex with, unless it's rape or something.
Right.
Okay.
So these people, I'm going to say people because it could be go either way. When they are out presenting, or do they actually attract that type of person in some way?
Who, the victim or the perpetrator?
The victim.
The victim will do it when they're having their first dinner together. Oh, you don't want the white wine, you want the red wine. See, they replace you with themselves.
Okay.
It's like, it's usually, I'm working, for example, today, women, I have had the fortunate misfortune of having clients who have become literally doormats for their fathers, okay, which is in Freud's world, big time, like mothers to sons and fathers to daughters.
So Oedipus
and that, it's called
Oedipus complex and Electra complex.
What is that one? A man to his mother is an adrenaline, not adrenaline, but anyway. When you're overcommitted to your mother or your father, especially a man with his mother, and a girl with her father, I know that Electra is complex when she mates him, but the behavioral design is gaslighting, but that's not in the DSM-5, but that's what it is.
Right.
And people just take you over. So if you have not been raised to be free, and here's the book, I love this book, Maslow's book, Toward a Psychology of Being. By the time you're 3 years old, you have started to be molded into a projection, a cookie, like a cookie cutter system, of mom or dad. That's scripting. And if you're not careful, anybody that reminds you of mom or dad can have you because they do what they did.
Right.
See? So it's a continuation of your childhood, but with drastic results. You don't get to be an individual. You don't get to be a couple. You're a zero with a 10. Do you see?
Yes.
So there.
Yes. That's very, very interesting. I think that, you know, it's funny when you use the term script, because my film and television background, I think about them rehearsing and doing it over and over and over. And that's one of the reasons that I think your scripting class is so interesting, because you get to edit your script after you've read somebody's script with them, after they've done your paperwork, and then you go through
that's so wonderful.
They get to edit it. They get to do the rewrite, you know? And so I think it's interesting
each time I've done my script with you, it's been so impactful that I got to edit. You know, the first time you go through, you do these edits and that edit, and then you live a different life. And then you do it again because, you know, you just can't get rid of all the baggage on the first run.
That's true.
You know, you can't, and I would call it like life typos. But it's interesting to me because they rehearse scripts, they practice scripts, they do it over and over and over until, you know, they get it right, and they rewrite and they rewrite. And that's what you do with that class.
And that's what life is all about, is towards becoming a B person or a D person. A B person is being who they are. A D person is deficient and codependent, you see? So
yeah,
when I read a script, and I want to remind you all out there, Claude Steiner's book, Scripts People Live. Claude Steiner was a protege of Eric Byrne, who created transactional analysis, which I am one of. And And scripts is an integral part of transactional analysis because you got to watch out how you think. And the way you do it is by controlling your words.
Mm-hmm.
And when you control words, they become habits, habits, habits. That's gaslit if you're negative.
Right.
And when you control your words, you change your character. I've got people that have to do TMS, transcranial. This is a new advance on EMDR. Transcranial electromagnetic stimulation, which is to rewire the brain so that the wiring that's been put on the Broca, which is the area of language, in the left hemisphere, is rewired so that you can change. It's so magnificent watching a former zero become at least a good five. You see?
Oh, that's excellent. Now, what's happening and this is a magnetic thing. So what's happening with the mirror neurons? How is it altering them? Because I'm assuming it's the neurons that are being affected by this magnetic.
Yes, electromagnetic. But all you're doing is changing words. And when you change your behavior, you change your character. Whereas you used to be a zero, you're now a five. And then anytime you love someone, there's you. You're there. It's the newest form of trauma work for people that have been castrated of their identities. Scripts People Live.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it's insured.
We actually have my fiance with me.
Oh, good.
Right here. But I just wanted to call you because you helped me get to this point as far as we're engaged and we've been together for almost a year. And things are going really, really well for the most part. And I've been trying to use the stuff I've learned from you along the way. But, of course, there's always going to be bumps. And we get along pretty well for the most part. And we spend a lot of time together. We're both pretty much not working because of the COVID-19 stuff. So, but we just had some like issues and stuff come up as far as like some arguments and stuff. So I just wanted to see if you could help us, learn how to communicate better when we do fight or like, cause sometimes the fights are spontaneous and they're very like energy depleting after we're, you know, getting into it.
Do you want me to show you what I do, Kelly? How many people do we have could I do this couple language-wise?
Yes, you've been waiting to do a couple. Let's do it. And, you know, we'll be back next week if we miss anybody tonight. So please do this, Dr. Ellen. I really have been looking forward to a couple.
Okay, yay. Very good. So I'm not going to ask. I will miss and mister. So miss, we don't want to break your anonymity. Do you want to be cherished first and respected second, or do you want to be respected by your mister first and cherished second? Which do you want?
Cherished first and respected second.
Okay. Sir, are you there?
Yep.
Do you want to be cherished first by miss or respected?
I guess respected, but it would be a kind of a hard decision because they both feel pretty important.
Okay, so you would like, well, we'll go with that because it fits. In other words, two respectables are too competitive and two cherishables are too codependent. So the best form of relationship is if you know that you want to be respected as first, cherished second, or cherished first for your feelings and pain, and respected second, so that you can waltz together verbally. Do you understand, both of you?
Makes sense.
Good. Okay, miss. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm going to give you the five tools of how to speak sensitively to Mr. When okay. I'm going to teach you how to fight.
Okay.
Okay? Have you ever studied with me?
Yes, I have for the last 3 years.
So you know the tools.
Yeah, I do know them, and he's somewhat familiar. I've told him about you a lot, and you've talked to him long before and discussed your stuff. So he's semi-familiar, but I'm very familiar.
Do you want me to work with gentlemen, sir, first, because you're already exposed?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Mister?
Yep.
There are five tools. These are part of my doctoral dissertation. Androgynous semantic syntactical realignment. What I do is I'm a transactional analyst and I manipulate the quantum mechanics of words to impact the quantum physics of energy, which is intimacy in a relationship. Now I'm going to take you through the five tools. The first tool is, please don't ask her what she thinks, opinions, suggestions about anything other than what she wants for Christmas or her birthday. Have the courage to say, pardon? Right.
This is applying to like in the middle of an argument or just all the time.
No, this is when you're dealing with sensitive subjects.
Okay.
Fighting. You don't talk like this on good days. You use this for fighting. Please don't ask her what she thinks and wants when you're fighting. Tell her what you think, what you want, and ask her how she feels about it. Do you see?
Okay.
Now, the second tool, how dare I take away your right to share your feelings? I don't like this. I don't, you know, fighting, getting emotional.
Right.
When you are upset with Miss, make an appointment for the subject. Honey, you had a right to do this or that, but I'm in significant discomfort. Would it be comfortable for you to hear me out today before we go to bed? You see what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the second tool of five. The third tool is, raise your right hand, please. I promise.
Okay. I promise, on honor.
To cherish my miss.
Cherish my miss.
Even when.
Even when.
She's illogical.
Illogical.
Irrational.
Irrational.
And can be irritating.
And irritating.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Please. That's the tool that you use when she irritates you saying something or doing something. Make her right. You see? And tell her what you want. I don't want you to feel about that.
Okay.
That's the third tool. The fourth tool, do you know that 90% of all communication is body language, tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expressions, right?
Right.
But you can't negotiate those. You can smash the wall in, but you can't negotiate with those. There's only three ways to communicate if you're human. Intimidate with fear, seduce with guilt and shame, or negotiate with love. I teach negotiation.
Sounds like the better
option. Sir, what?
I said that sounds like the better option.
That is a better option. Here's what you do when her body tells you she's upset. Honey, I sense by the look on your face you're upset about something. Am I right? No. Okay. If you ever are, please feel free to make an appointment to talk to me, like we learned from Pat Allen. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yep.
So
give her the option.
I sense by the tone of your I sense by the tone of your voice, the look of your face, body language, your gesture, and you're upset. Am I right? Yes. Would it be comfortable for you to tell me about it, hopefully today? Yes. I'm upset about the way you looked at that waitress in the restaurant, whatever. Oh.
Right.
And you say, what can I do to help you and I feel better about that? Please don't oogle waitresses when I'm with you. Do you see what you've done?
Yeah.
You spotted the body language, confronted it, found out what it was, and made an agreement, a negotiation. Do you see?
Yep.
And the fifth tool, have you ever been to a basketball game?
Yep.
You know what a timeout looks like on a referee? Hands?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Or on the phone, it's timeout. This is when you're so upset, you're afraid you're going to be mean. So you give her a signal, timeout signal, and God willing, she says, what can I do to help you and I do better? Because that's what girls do. Guys say, what can I do to help us feel better? So when you are afraid to speak, give her a timeout sign. And then hopefully she'll say, what can I do to help you and I do better right now?
Okay.
Those are the five tools for you. Did you learn anything that was helpful?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Miss. Miss.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. I want you to raise your right hand.
Okay.
I promise.
I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect Mr.
Respect Mr.
Unless I have to call the police.
Unless I have to call the police.
A medical doctor.
A medical doctor.
Or a lawyer to sue.
Or a lawyer to sue.
You see, when you're with a man you respect, even when you're fighting, you have to especially then talk respectfully. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So the first tool for a woman who wants to be cherished, men that want to be respected cannot cherish you unless you respect them. Do you have that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So what you say to him is, I don't feel good about this or that. Would it be convenient for you to listen to my pain?
Okay.
Today. That stops okay. you from saying, now look here, if I'm going to be with you, you better do it this way.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to be the man in the relationship of trying to not do that. That doesn't, that never
works out well. Too many women mother their sons. There's a great book and it's called The War Against Boys by a lady named Summers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about masculine, disrespectful women chopping on their sons' respectability. Do you see?
Sure.
So I tell women, please don't say what you think, want, opinion, suggestion, idea. Instead, say what you feel and ask him the second tool. If he's willing to listen to what you're feeling bad about, make an appointment at his convenience, not comfort. He asks you comfort. You ask him convenience. Do
right.
you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. The third female tool is irritation. You already took your pledge. I pledge to respect my man unless I have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer to sue him. Hopefully,
right.
you've dated him and you respect him.
Yes, I do.
Do you see?
100%.
And remember, you must respect him first. So he can cherish you. The only man that cherishes a woman better than himself is a father with a daughter under 8. 8 mm-hmm. years old, a girl has to be cherished by her father or father figure, stepdad, whatever, because if she isn't, she's going to think she's supposed to do good, not feel good, which is basically raising her to be a boy. And then she marries
right.
a girl with a penis.
Yes. No, he has a 3 or 4 year old daughter. And
okay.
We also have, he has two sons. I have a son.
The third tool is The third tool is basically, honey, you had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but I'm uncomfortable. Is it convenient for you to hear me? Negotiate a deal?
Right.
Hopefully today. Why today? Okay. Because when you go to sleep, you have to produce enough serotonin to tranquilize your cortisol anxiety. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's best if you go to sleep comfortably. Okay. So that's the third tool. The fourth tool is, I sense, I think, I believe by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, your gesturing, that you're upset about something, honey. Am I right? Yes or no? I don't want to talk about it. Okay. The fact that you don't give me a yes or a no tells me you are upset. What can I do to help you and I feel better now? Got that?
You better, right?
Okay. And the last tool is the timeout one. He's doing something that's causing you discomfort, and you're afraid to speak because you're afraid you'll speak the way you were raised, which is maybe masculine or mean or whatever.
Right.
So you say time out, or you signal with your hands time out. And he says, what can I do to help you and I feel better? And then you negotiate something that you say different or do different. Okay?
Okay.
Did you learn anything in the team?
Always.
Pardon?
Yes, I do. I did, as always.
Okay. So, sir?
Yes.
Do you have any questions about the five tools to fight?
No, they sound like it could be useful.
If you go to my website, drpatallen.com, there's tons of stuff. In fact, there's even, Kelly, what is the name of that training that's up there that would cover this tool stuff?
Oh, yeah. You can go and watch our free video right now on drpatallen.com and watch it as many times as you want because it's up for free right now. Communication and relationships. So it's a spectacular video. And, of course, all of our other products are at oneistar.com. So, but, yeah, on our website, you can see that free video.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if you have time for a question, but I had another one.
Yes. Go ahead.
I was wondering if you could help, like, explain to me, because one thing we get in arguments sometimes about is like previous partners or previous lovers or relationships. We're both pretty jealous for each other. But I've read I understand that this can be like a good thing, but at the same time, that can be a major thing that we fight about. I don't know if you have any advice around jealousy and how to fight about that, because that seems to be kind of an issue that comes up a lot.
Any subject that's sensitive can be handled by these tools. I've been a therapist for 50 years, and I have not had to modify much. I create new spin-offs of the tools for people that are dating and things. But the truth of the matter is, these tools, when you look at them with value, not just stupid stuff that is not worth it, I promise you that you will get along, because all of the tools bear respect and cherishing when negotiating. And the book that I wrote called It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, that's my last one. I'm writing a textbook now, but that one is done, and it puts tools in there, and it is a summary of my theories. And I think that a man's world, men are built biologically to control things. Their bodies are bigger, their brains are intuitive. Women are built biochemically to cherish, to love. So women are in charge of oxygen, because oxygen is what helps you breathe and speak. We women, we have vocabularies of 5,000 words. Men have 2,500. We are talk specialists. And we have that big corpus callosum that mixes our thoughts and feelings together. So please look at that free movie, whatever it is.
Yeah, I actually watch it. It's great. But and I guess on a specific issue, there's been guys from my past that I didn't have intercourse with, but that went down on me, and then so my question is, because you talked about how that intercourse and having oral sex is different, so that's one thing that I was hoping we could explain in the scientific way that you do.
Why if somebody, are you asking for a job?
No, I'm just asking the difference, because one thing we kind of have an argument, it's more just an argument, not really a fight, but that having a guy go down on a girl is the same thing as intercourse. That would be my...
I consider everything except penile insertion in mouth, anus, or vagina, I consider anything affection. And that means a man going down on a woman.
Right. So, but his argument or his feeling on it is that it's the same thing. Therefore, any guy that I've ever had do that to me, is I'm bonded to them. Is that... how is that different than me having intercourse with a guy than me having...
Many, many women like to have their clitorises attended to. But it doesn't do the same. There are no Bartholomew glands on the clitoris. For a man, he likes intercourse because of the effect it has in bonding the woman to him. So, what you're talking about is, for one thing, call back and ask me the question. Do you see? So I can go into it in more detail.
Oh, I'll just call another time and so you can explain it deeper.
Yeah, ask it.
Okay.
Didn't we just teach you the tools?
Yes. I just wanted to ask that because that's just something that I was hoping.
But what you're bringing up is such a big subject. I don't want to bring it up because we're coming closer to the end of the show.
Okay. Well, no worries.
What I am saying, though, I consider intercourse God's moment. That's when we can make babies. That's when we can either rape or make love. Everything else is affection, foreplay, and it's subject to the woman's comfort and the man's desires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, so call back and ask for it.
Dr. Allen, could you touch a little bit on the positive aspects of jealousy?
Of what?
Of jealousy, the positive aspects of jealousy. And if you're not jealous.
Oh, jealousy, yes. Anytime you're in love with somebody, you will feel jealous because that's part of territoriality. And a great book by David Buss, B-U-S-S, is called Dangerous Passions. Who would ever hear a good book about jealousy? But this book does it. He also wrote The Evolution of Desire about how developed relationships grow. But I love the jealous one because it says good things about normal habits. When you love somebody, especially men, they are very territorial. Because what they're doing, if they're creating a family, is to reproduce themselves for the betterment of mankind. Having sex is not making love. Animals have sex. Humans make love when they take the elements of sexuality and add territoriality, affection, you see? Making love is physical, mental, and emotional. Having sex is physical and mental. It is not, a woman can tell when a man is making love or when he's having sex. His touch will tell her. You see? Okay? Anybody else have another question? What? Hello?
Yes. Thank you.
Do we have another question from anybody?
Are you guys good?
I'm still on the phone. I can always ask some questions, but it sounds like maybe there might be some other people that need to get on. So I can be good with that and appreciate your time.
Awesome. Well, we're so glad you guys decided to both call in together. We've been looking forward to talking to a couple, and it's been really great.
And
thank you.
Please call back with your sexual questions when we have freedom to go into it in depth.
Yeah, I definitely will. For sure. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
I want to find out. What?
Go ahead. I'm just talking to the switchboard. Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to find out if the gentleman learned something, if he got something from what we did do.
Oh, I think that he really did. He seemed quite on board. He thought it, I think one of his comments was that when looking at it and listening to you, he seemed to respond by saying that seemed like, you know, a really good thing to do. So I think that one of the things that when some of our girl clients are using those tools, some of the guys that they're with don't know those tools. So I think when he heard them from you directly, that it had a really awesome impact because, you know, sometimes the guys don't know the tools. They don't know what we're doing. So they don't, I don't know that they get on board, but I think he definitely got on board.
Good. Okay. That was good.
Because I know we've talked to some of our gals that have said, like, well, he gets really mad when I talk to him that way because he doesn't understand, I think, the concept of what's happening. But very interesting. We have a caller live on the line. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Can you
hear
me, Kelly?
What is it?
Hi, Dr. Pat.
Yeah, we.
My question is, with all that's going on in California, a lot of people are looking to leave, and I'm beginning to think along those lines. But I'm seeing a fella that kind of in a relationship, but he hasn't asked me if I would be willing to move out of state because he has an interest in moving out of state. My problem is I'm really happy where I live in a cooler area and with my home, and I'm having a struggle thinking about, could I give this up? And I'm wondering if there's anything that you can help me look at that might help me focus.
Well, before you have intercourse, have you had intercourse with this person?
No, this is an old, renewed relationship with just affection.
Okay. But is there the potential of a romance?
Yes. The only thing standing in the way is there's another woman he has been seeing on and off for the last couple of years. Nothing too serious, but there is physical contact and I obviously some emotional, but not as much as with me emotionally.
So are you wanting
very
to marry? Do you want to marry somebody or what?
Yep. Mating is fine.
Wait, who am I talking to?
Sir, you're talking to me.
Okay. And you are a man?
No, no, no. Woman.
I hear a voice that sounds male.
Oh, dear. Maybe it's the smog and smoke.
So you are a woman, and you're thinking of going with a man out of your area.
Out of the state.
That's the area.
Yes.
Is he 51% valuable to you?
Way more than that.
Then what's in the state that's more valuable than he is?
My home.
What do you mean your home?
Well, it's not more valuable, but it would be difficult to give it up.
Building. It's a building.
Yes.
So you're not wanting to mate or marry anybody. You want a companion in your home.
We've tried that. It didn't work.
Because he wants to live in a different state.
Right.
But that's called marriage.
Okay.
Do you want to be respected or cherished first?
Cherished.
If you want to be cherished, you have to respect his wishes because being with him is more valuable than being in a house.
Okay.
Do you have that for him?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I mean, I do care that much, but not knowing if I would be happy with the weather or
honey,
where I'd be
honey,
living.
I got news for you. Anytime you change anything, house, food, anything, I'm doing a quarantine because I went to a wedding. And my daughter, whom I live with, was a head nurse at Scripps, and she's got me on a quarantine. And I respect that because she's more valuable than doing anything.
I hear you.
So what I'm hearing is that you're not interested in mating or marrying. You're interested in a companion that wants to respect you. You're better off with a girlfriend.
No, I don't want a girlfriend to live with. I want him.
No, wanting him. You see, this is what's interesting about men. Men want specifically, I want you. Women want generally, I want to be mated and married, and he's taking me to his state. But I want to be with him. So you're not in love with this man, dear.
Well, I do love him.
No, of course you love him. He's your companion. How old are you?
76.
At 76, you want a companion to live with. I'm 86. You want someone to live with. Growing old alone is very, very hard on human beings. So you have somebody you love, but you're not in love. In love requires jealousy. I want to be with
that.
You.
I do have the jealousy.
Of course you do. But you've got the jealousy because you've been raised to be a man. Was your mother a man?
No.
Was she?
No.
Yes.
No.
So you're your father's son.
Actually, both parents weren't around very much. I mean, they were off working all the time.
Do you have a brother?
No.
Is he a girl or a boy?
She was a girl.
So what I'm sharing with you is you were raised to do good, to feel good, and you're with a man that was raised to be do good, to feel good. I've got too many men here.
Well, he did have a wonderful relationship with his mother, which makes him a wonderful lover and companion.
I understand that, but you had a bad relationship with your father because he raised you to be a boy, not a girl.
He really didn't have much influence on my life. I mean, I can count, the one time that I had an interaction.
That impacted him, the fact that he wasn't there for you. Do you understand your script is telling me you're a boy and you want to castrate your boyfriend into a girl so she can live with you without being a man?
Yes, I hear that.
Well, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go with your man to his location in order to share that relationship?
Yes, I guess the struggle is how do I get past leaving what I love in a structure of a house and a garden?
Honey, feel free to be a spinster.
Okay, I hear that.
Okay.
And with that, I'm sorry, we're out of time. We have to go, but caller, I encourage you to call back. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say real quick before we leave?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Ain't that the truth? Goodbye, everyone. We love you. We'll be back next week. Thanks for being here with us tonight. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.